The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Joining us from Israel for the Israel Report this morning, Rolien Marks. Rolien, how are you?
Good morning. I'm always delighted to speak to this morning team. I tell you, it's the perfect start to my weekend.
Well, I am very pleased to hear it. Unfortunately, not much of a team. It's just me. But you know what it is? You know what they say, Rolien? You've got to take what you get, I suppose. Zanati had some car issues, some travel issues. So she'll be back with us on Monday. Rolien, I've been talking to our listeners about the and I said that you and I spoke offline, off air yesterday, and we debated whether we can, whether we should, whether we want to, whether we need to have this conversation. But we know we do. And especially if we're debating it, that's exactly the reason that we need to have this conversation. We don't like to talk about terrible things often that come out of Israel, but this one is a horror, an allegation that a young woman of 16 was raped by 30 young men who stood outside the hotel room in Eilat and took turns waiting to go in. She was drunk. She was disoriented. She called them in one by one. So it wasn't, it didn't seem as though there was restraint, but undoubtedly this woman was taken advantage of in the most terrible way. How is Israel responding to this story?
Well, first of all, I think any time where we have gender-based violence, sexual abuse, we have to speak out about it. It is becoming another epidemic around the world, and especially at this time of COVID-19, where some women are locked up or in lockdown with their abusers. And I think any time that this occurs, whether it be in a lockdown situation or not, we have to talk about it. And just because it happened in Israel, and it's as we would say in Yiddish, an absolute shanda, it doesn't mean that we are immune from talking about it. It doesn't mean that we are immune here in Israel for having to do some real, real deep soul searching on what kind of environment there is that 30 young men feel the need to do this to a young woman, a young vulnerable woman. I understand she was intoxicated, and you know, at the moment it is still an alleged incident as it is being investigated. And I echo both alternate Prime Minister and Defense Minister Benny Gantz and Prime Minister Netanyahu, Benny Gantz, who have said he's still trying to comprehend what kind of person does this, what kind of person who calls himself a man does this to a vulnerable young woman. Prime Minister Netanyahu has called it a crime against humanity, and the Foreign Minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, has also weighed in on it.
Do we have any idea of the age of the alleged perpetrators? Because I haven't seen it in any reports, and I've looked. I've been trying to find out, are they contemporaries, are they older guys? Like I've been trying to find it, and I just haven't seen it anywhere.
We don't have exact ages. We understand that they are young. That's all that's being reported. We know that two have been arrested so far, and that the police have formed a special investigative unit to deal with this. And I think there's like quite an increased military presence around Eilat because of this event. It's also an event that has made front page news in several mainstream papers around the world. I've seen some in the United Kingdom and in Australia as well. And last night, women's organizations, including my own WITSO and various others, took to the street in protest that this is absolutely untenable and
I saw that one of them was 27. What bothers me so much about, I mean, there's so many things that bother me about the story, but the one thing that I keep thinking is, and in fact you and I spoke about it also quite extensively, was the situation, I think it was in Cyprus, I can't remember which island it was, where it was, where this young British woman claimed that a group of Israeli men had raped her. Turned out that, in fact, the allegation was false in terms of the rape aspect of it, but it certainly was shocking and appalling behavior. behavior, and immoral behavior by these young Israelis. And you and I spoke about it, how they returned to Israel to this hero's welcome in some areas. And we said they're no heroes at all. And it reflects a deep problem. Surely that story, coupled with this story, says that maybe Israel's got a bit of a problem with how young men are being educated around gender and around what is, at, you know, and behavior around sexuality.
Well, this is an important subject you raise, and I know it's one that, as a women's organization, we are certainly having the discussion about it. And Prime Minister Netanyahu echoed these sentiments last night. He said Israel and Israeli societies have some deep soul-searching to do. We have to look at the ways that we are raising young men. Mm. This behavior is not acceptable at all, and neither is blaming the victim, you know, whether or not she was intoxicated or wore something provocative or whatever. That is never, ever acceptable. No means no, and rape is rape. It's absolutely untenable and unacceptable. But I think we do have to have a very serious review how we are raising our young men, and how we are having conversations about gender, sexuality, and what is allowed.
Mm. Has it been a problem in Israel in the past? Is how bad is the what are the rape statistics like? What is the situation there?
Well, we don't normally have rapes of this nature. You know, there is gender-based violence, and sadly it has been on the increase, prompting a lot of the women's organizations to band together just before the pandemic spread to look at ways that we can work more closely with law enforcement, with government, how to deal with this. And this falls into that remit. While we don't have the, you know, sky-high statistics, I think these cases are both very unique that we're looking at because of the allegations of gang rape, that it's not one perpetrator to a victim. This is gang rape. This is probably the worst kind of violation that you could ever imagine. But there are these conversations taking place. And also, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that years ago, Israel was considered one of the worst countries in terms of human trafficking. We have worked very, very hard, law enforcement, government, women's organizations, to try and combat this. And we are now a tier one country in terms of human trafficking. It used to be very, very easy to be able to traffic women through Israel into Africa, from Africa into Europe. It is now, we are now one of the best, if not the best country in the world with dealing with that. And we now have to take the fight to this kind of sexual violence.
And what a sad thing, because especially coming off a week where Israel has been celebrating the UAE agreement, we've had so much positivity coming out of that region, for it to be marred by this type of story is absolutely horrific. The other thing, of course, that did mar the week as well, especially for people in the south of Israel, was the situation coming out of Gaza, rockets being fired, etc. Can you bring us up to date on that, please?
We've had 2 weeks of endless arson balloon terror attacks. These are balloons, and in some cases condoms, and I could have thought of a better use for those devices, and maybe we wouldn't be sitting with some of the situation we are today. But we have had these balloons, condoms, other devices with bombs with Molotov cocktails attached to them sent over the border into the south of Israel, and they have burned literally thousands and thousands of dunams of very, very valuable agricultural and nature reserve. This is people's livelihood. This is the ability to feed the country and to export to other countries. And, I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, those who claim to love the land and want the land, don't burn the land. This is a war crime, and the IDF are doing their utmost to try and prevent this, but strong winds coupled with the helium, which of course hospitals are begging for right now because it can help treat coronavirus patients. Terror entities within the Gaza Strip are using this to sow terror. So the IDF have been responding to these arson attacks and using the laser system, Lahav Oz, to shoot them down. However, last night there were 12 rockets that were launched from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel, sending hundreds of thousands of people into their shelters. And one rocket hit a house in Sderot, causing tremendous, tremendous damage to the infrastructure. We can only say, thank God, the family weren't in their kitchen and weren't in that particular area at the time. Netanyahu warned that we are preparing for a wider operation. Now, this doesn't mean, and I want to be very, very clear about this, this doesn't mean we are going into Gaza. This doesn't mean boots on the ground. It means that we are looking at other ways militarily and precision-based to deal with the issue. And Gantz has said that this doesn't mean that targeted assassinations are off the table. So it's a very strong warning to Hamas. And of course, it comes at a time when Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and perhaps other countries will be signing these peace agreements, these normalization agreements, a tremendous week of historic firsts, the opening of phone lines between us and the United Arab Emirates. There will be an exchange of embassies, although we do have it on authority that the UAE will be opening their embassy in Tel Aviv, not in Jerusalem as such. And I think before we get angry, I think we also have to look at the delicate nature.
I think absolutely. Look, it would make, they could open it in Haifa. It would make, I just think the fact is just work with it. Work with what you have.
Absolutely. I think the time for recrimination against the UAE, and I've seen it on social media. Like, don't tell us you want peace with us, and then you just,
oh, for goodness sake, you'll grow up.
Let's be rational over here. The lifting of restrictions on websites. Of course, now we're discussing direct routes, a 3-hour trip. Brace yourselves.
No, we can't wait. We can't wait, because if we could fly to Israel and back via Dubai and pop over there for just a little bit of shopping, well, wow.
Sounds but as perfect. You said last week, those Dead Sea pop-ups are going to be popping up.
Well, if
all
they do
over,
that, then I'm not going to. I can't. Then we can't go to Dubai. If they're going to be at every shopping
but
mall.
Howard, Howard, I can give you a special deal. What are you talking about?
I walked past one of them in Cape Town a few years ago. I mean, it was a few years ago. I was even younger. And one of them says, you need something for your face. I said, no, I use. Don't worry. I mean, I love the stuff. My wife doesn't trust my daughter and I to walk into any one of these stores because we come out with way too much. I'm just as bad as my daughter is. So she says to me, I said, don't worry, I've got what I need. She says, well, it's not working. So I said, that's a great technique, a great sales technique. Yeah, you definitely want to win customers that way. Anyway, so yes,
yeah,
I hope
we might have to review the sales pitch, guys.
Absolutely.
The city of Tel Aviv issuing a formal invite for Emiratis to come and visit our city. But in a week of first, I have to talk just a little bit about what happened in Germany this week. I don't know about you, Howard, but I had very mixed feelings about this. You know, on one hand, I'm very proud that the Israeli Air Force under the leadership of Amicam Norkin, Major General Amicam Norkin, flew into Germany, paid tribute over Dachau, one of the first concentration camps, flew alongside the Luftwaffe. I'm struggling to accept that today it's called the Luftwaffe. I don't know what you feel about
it. So it's interesting, because I thought I was the only one that had mixed feelings about it. And I know that there was a lot of pride on social media, and I know that it was very, very well received. But I kept wondering what my grandparents, what my late grandparents would feel about that. And I don't even know what the answer is. I suspect my grandmother would have been very supportive of it, and my grandfather would have been outraged. So I don't, you know, so, and I guess that's kind of where I'm at. I feel a bit of conflict. It's progress. It's moving forward. It's, you know, when I think about the people that perished, you know, to know that in so many years time, the Israeli Air Force would be flying over. Wonderful. But it, you know, but it still makes me a little uncomfortable.
I have to say, I share the same feeling, but I do appreciate this salute to the victims and to the survivors, and also the reiteration of the strong ties, and to hear the head of the German Air Force, I'm going to call it the Air Force, say never again, we are committed to fighting anti-Semitism, meant a lot to me and a lot to all of us here in Israel.
Yep, absolutely. Unfortunately, Irolene and Marks, we do need to leave it there. I don't know how 15 minutes goes so quickly when we're on air, but that's just what
happens. Time flies, Howard. Time flies.
It does.
Now I could do this all day with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is 8:01. Irolene and Marks, thank you as always. Have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch you next week.